We are trying to get the connection going. We're having trouble today on the set of Nikki Nights. Oh my gosh. And by the set, I mean my back Florida room. Hi guys, welcome back. So we're having a little issue with the Zoom connecting. I was just talking about my day here at Nikki Nights, prepping for my interview today with Minnie Sterling. I'm so excited to chat with her, but I was just like, talking a little bit earlier about like what kind of day I was having. It's one of those days where I'm dropping everything. You know, you got to plug in your phone. You think it's plugged in. You're like, oh, yay, I'm going to get a full charge. You realize the charger wasn't plugged in all the way. You go to pick something up. It falls. You go to pick it up again. It falls again. Things have been falling today. Everything I go to pick up in my hands, it just, I'm like, really, really? Not today, Satan. But, I can't wait to talk to my guest today because maybe she drops things like I do. I'm going to see if she ever has a case of the dropsies, because that's what I call them. Let's admit Mindy Sterling. Hi. How are you?
Oh my gosh, we did it. I don't know what happened, but okay.
We made it.
How are you?
I'm good. I love it. You have like, are you in your closet? Yes, okay. I love it. I have like, I'm in like my back pantry. I got my Swiffer, my washing machine. I love this.
I'm going to see if I can, because I've been recording a voiceover and auditioning, and this is the only space that allows me the, you know, the density, and so that it's quiet. And, but I mean, this isn't even a walk-in closet. This is just one of those, you know, you open it up, but somebody said to me, get pillows in there, use your clothes to, you know, help with the sound and stuff. So yes, that is what I have been doing.
Funny story. When
so
we
that's
moved
like crazy,
into this,
right?
When we moved into this house about 3 years ago, it was funny how my parents, like the allure of this house when they said, oh, in the upstairs, there's a walk-in closet. It wasn't a walk-in closet. It's just a walk-in closet for me because I'm the only one who's short enough to walk in there.
Oh my God. I love you have the Swiffer in the back of you.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's for those karaoke.
Oh, I love that thing. I'm a big Swiffer cleaner person.
So is my mom. She's obsessed. We have the wet pads, and then we go.
Oh yes! Oh yes!
Dry ones.
Oh yes! That is something. That is something very special.
It is. What are like the products that you notice you can't live without during the quarantine right now? That are like the essentials to you.
Toilet bowl cleaner.
Yep.
And what else? The Swiffer stuff, you know, because I'm always cleaning and stuff. And I would say, let's see, what else? The cleaning products. I think that's like the two biggest stuff, you yeah. know, is the Swiffer and the toilet bowl cleaners. I find that I use that a lot. And some stuff, you know, I really do need to dust, but I just haven't.
I know. I'm the same way. I feel bad for my blinds. I really do.
Oh my God. Same here. And I, you know, I don't have a house cleaner. So I think we're all sort of dealing with that. And really, it won't take that long to do, let's say you do one, you know, blinds at just for the day.
Right.
And that way you don't feel, oh my God, because it is, it's very tedious.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's interesting. I look back now as a kid and my grandmother like kept an immaculate house, you know, and I'm just like, wow, what effort must have went into that? And it looked to me, it was just like the house I grew up in. So it was totally normal. Now as an adult, I look back and I go, whoa. That is a lot of responsibility. I don't know how she did it.
Did she have a big house?
She had a very big house, 4 kids, took care of her like ailing father. My grandmother was incredible. So kind of like makes me, I'm like, I don't know how she did it. I give her all the credit in the world. Anybody who has children, you are a mom. I give you so much props. Don't know how you do it.
It certainly is a lot of work in so many, for so many reasons. I'm trying not to use, I can hear you, but then I can't hear myself. So I'm trying to fiddle with this to figure out what am I doing wrong.
Hold on 1 second.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, good. I can hear you too. All right. So I think that there's, you know, something we love about being, you know, a parent, but you know, you really are for the most of their life, you're taking care of them.
Yeah.
And I do love to take care of people. So that is a plus for me. And my son and I, he's 25 and he lives with me and he's on the autistic spectrum. So there's an added little, some little things that you kind of have to work with. And sometimes as a parent, we just don't want to work with that, you know, and you just want to be, hey, this is the way it is. But that's not the way he is. And so, but we have a really great relationship. I mean, I put him on Instagram all the time. I interview him and talk to him about just everything that we're doing. We drink together. We eat together. We just hang together. And this pandemic, I've really learned to back off a little bit more, like in his room. It's like, you know, I can't go in there all the time and clean. I just can't. I'll do it every 2 weeks or something. But I have been giving him his space, which allows him then to come in and check with me to see how I'm doing. Cause he's just in the room on the computer all the time.
Right. Sure.
And, you know, something that I never grew up around.
That's what my mom says to me. She's like, you know, my father says to me, he goes, you carry that thing with you everywhere. He's like, I never see your eyes leave either the screen of your phone or the laptop. My dad, Mindy, has never touched a computer in his life.
So he won't even but how about his, does he have an iPhone? Yeah, he must have an iPhone.
He still has a flip phone.
No.
Yes,
no.
It's baffling. I mean, has never even had an email address, nothing. He goes into CVS, they go, sir, what's your email? He goes, I don't have one, never have. Like, it's the most, he's so proud. And so,
oh my God, that's so bizarre.
So for them to like, you know, see me and my brother on our computers and kind of very much live in, you know, this realm of social media and access 24/7 to all different kinds of electronics and programs and everything, I think it's a totally different generation, I'm realizing. And I think, like you said, with the quarantine, I live with my parents right now, and it's definitely forced me to learn a lot about them and what they need and what I need. And there have been a lot of healthy boundaries set. I think my mom is, there is a new term, and I was like, the other day I said, Mom, you have to stop micromanaging me.
Yes, that's a good word. Yes.
That was one of, and she said, micromanage. Wow. She was, the most ghastly word she ever heard. But it's totally interesting. I mean, and you're from the East Coast, so you totally understand the East Coast mom vibe, don't you?
Well, you know, the Jewish mom or the Italian mom, mm-hmm. or the Greek, you know, they're all big personalities. And they, I think that they say their piece and they're, you know, my mom wasn't that big of a person. My mom was more fun and, you know, and cute. And she was, you know, she wasn't like that kind of a person. And she would, you know, say things like, if you want something, you get on your dad's lap, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of, you know, tell him how much you love him, you know, and things like that. You're like, no.
Yeah.
and my mother was always about helping people and doing for people. And so she was that kind of a person. So it's so funny because when I do any kind of, New York Jewish character, or I'm from Miami, you know, it's always the other side of it. The loud, I love you, but.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always that I love you so much, but you know, do something with your hair. It's in your eyes. You know? And so, but my mother never had that kind of a way of saying it. She would just be gentler about it. But I mean, look, I think it's fabulous that you have parents that, you know, you can stay with and that aren't driving you so crazy that you have to go, fuck this, I cannot. And I know people that you are having to move in, and, you know, and that kind of a thing. So this is really, I think, teaching us some, you know, some lessons and just about, how, you know, yeah, getting back to family and how hard that is. Like, I always, whenever I would go and visit my family in Miami, I would always so excited. Oh my God, only 5 days. I wish it was a week. And then 3 days.
Yeah.
3 days, you're like, oh, what did I do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was me at like the 1 month mark. I was like, I could use a trip. Why did I come home? But no, it's fun. Let me ask you. I mean, my parents were always pretty cool with me wanting to act and sing. Were your parents big proponents of acting and being in the business? Yeah.
Yes. My biological father was an entertainer. His name was Dick Sterling, and he was an amazing singer, and he was a comedian, and he worked with Shecky Green. He was partners with Shecky early on, and then he was partners with Sammy Shore. So he was around, and he did all the, you know, he did the clubs in Miami. Right. And then my mom, I mean, my mother had a job, but my mother was a dancer early on too. She danced in the hotel, in Miami. So I was kind of around that. My mom is very animated as well.
Sounds
as my father.
So glamorous.
Yes. And so, I have this great picture. I wish I had it right next to me, but it's my mother is in full makeup, as you know, I think she's done with her dancing. And my brother and I are sitting next to her and just looking at her like in awe of her. And she's just stunning with all that, you know, that stage makeup on and everything. And I was shy. And so, but when I realized, and I don't remember how it happened, but I realized, oh, you can be a character and you don't have to be yourself, you know? And I thought that was pretty cool. So I could play and pretend. So when I got into that, I think the first thing I did was in sixth grade was a play, The Mikado. And my mom and dad, I was never discouraged ever to do what I wanted to do. The one thing my mother told me to do, which really helped a lot, was take typing in school because you have something to fall back on. And that was like the one brilliant thing. My mother has said many brilliant things, but that really helped me so that I, when I came out to LA, I got like a job as a receptionist, light typing, you know, so you had to make a living. And I wasn't someone that really wanted to wait tables. I didn't think I could do that very well. That's really hard work. Did you ever wait tables?
Okay, so when I moved back from LA, back to New York, after I had acted for a while, we moved here to this house on Long Island. I moved with my family, and I had to get like a regular part-time job, and I started waiting tables at this place around the corner. It was my first waiting tables job, and it was kind of fun. It was like 8 tables, which was just enough for me, small. I did not, however, do well with the bosses. It was this very, very, it was a stern Greek man. He was from Greece. And I'll never forget one day he told me to, quote, get on my knees and scrub the fridge because women clean better than men. That was it.
Oh, bye-bye, bye-bye.
I saw red. I was like, bye-bye, ooh, goodbye, wow. Goodbye. So I
guess
that was my last experience waiting tables.
I did wait tables for probably, I don't know, maybe 2 months. And a friend of mine said, hey, it's just, I think it was like on Saturday or Sunday or something. And I'd always wanted to, because I thought it was, I just want to see if I can. And it was like that breakfast rush. And yeah. Where you had to, you know, my problem is getting everything out at the same time. And I remember having to, I had to make the waffles. So I made more unwanted waffles and toast. I constantly was like, oh shit, that was bad. Or, it's not hot anymore. Or, you know, I don't know if we had microwaves back then, but I was not very good. But I do remember like leaving and going, $60. That was a, whoa. Right, $60 on a Saturday, you know?
You know, those tips at the end of the day do add up. I will say
cash. Yeah. And cash. I mean, I only did it like, you know, once a week, but at least I tried, I did something where I thought this is really hard. And yeah. I could see some people are great at it. Some people, and after a while you do, but boy, being on your feet for that many hours and having to listen to people complain and tell you this is cold or this is this or this, that's, you're doing a lot of things, you know, you're dealing with the public, you're trying to make things and put it together and make it all so lovely. And it is really hard.
It is, you know, people are hard to please, you know, and being on your feet. I remember I was on my feet from like 10 in the morning. I would work 10 to 10.
Oh,
I was just at the end of like a Saturday night shift. I wanted nothing more than to just pray that I would get on another movie set. I was please,
yes,
please. So it makes those experiences so much more exciting, and they mean so much more when you have them back. And I remember the first set after Waiting Tables was like my first Christmas. I was like, yes, here we go.
I know. Yeah, it was, it's a very, it is. I really do give people, and I like when people are, you know, when the service people are sort of accommodating to you. So I like when somebody goes, I'm sorry, we're short of staff, or I'll be right with you. Let me get you some drinks, right? You know what I mean? There are those kind of wonderful people. And then there are those who just won't even make eye contact with you.
Yes, I'm big on eye contact in all aspects. I like some good eye contact. And let me just tell you, I was just watching your clip. Speaking of eye contact, your clip in, oh my gosh, in Austin Powers. Can you just tell us about that experience? How that came about? That, and
it was
so much fun.
It really was. It sort of, you know, took me to a different level in my career. So it was definitely one of the best times in my life. And to have, you know, to work with someone like Mike Myers, who is just a comic genius and just, you know, an amazing person. And then to be on, you know, on the same, you know, sort of level as Robert Wagner and Seth Green and all these people, I couldn't believe it half the time. It was really fun to do. It was playful, but at the same time, I wasn't there to change anything or improvise my way through it. You know, you just kind of played with Mike and you kind of felt him, but it wasn't like work. It was from the director, Jay Roach, to everyone on the set, to the crew, and then to be asked to do it three times total.
That's so amazing.
That's pretty wild. You know, that just doesn't happen that easily anymore. And I'll never forget how that changed my life. And then also too, just, I'm so grateful when somebody stops me or acknowledges that. I never get tired of, you know, talking about it.
Well, it's playing those characters that mean something and that stand out over time, you know? And I remember seeing your character in high school. And I loved that movie back then. And still now, whenever I see your character, I just get the biggest smile on my face. It's just permanent. I just get such a charge. I was even watching the end where you did the Jerry Springer reenactment with Seth. That was amazing.
Everything that they put together, it also worked. And it's one of those films that just, it stays around forever and it still has power and it still brings laughter. And we all know what's going to happen next. It's not even that, it's the bits. It's the moments that make us laugh, or just people reciting it. I mean, I don't even remember half the things I said, but people reciting it and knowing it and spending time to watch it over and over again.
Yeah. What's one of those movies for you that you could watch over and over again that just brings you joy?
That bring me joy. Oh my God, I wish I would have thought about it. I don't know. What's for you? What's another one? I'm trying to think.
It's interesting. The movies that I grew up loving, I still love and find comforting today. If I need to just like be happy or smile, it's always Mary Poppins. Julie Andrews.
Oh, really?
Just yes. Always, always, always just takes me away. That was my favorite movie as a kid. That and Puffin Stuff.
Oh my God. That is, that I played Witchy Poo in, they did a big, they give the star to the two guys, mm-hmm. brothers, okay, Marty and Seacroft, and they had me dress up as Witchy Poo, and oh my God, if you look at it, it's
you have no
beyond.
Idea how excited I am right now, because I watched this movie every day.
You have to, go online and go, Mindy Sterling is Witchy Poo, and you will find me. It's very so interesting. Excited. But, I'm trying to think because, nothing pops out. Oh, I'm going to get off and then just go, there's that list.
You were, like, super into as a kid. Do you remember, like, one TV show making an impression on you or... something that you could watch?
I when I was growing up, I mean, not like as a little kid, but I was a big fan of the Monkees.
Love. Davy Jones, come on.
I was Mickey Dolenz, because he was funny.
Do you know that he played Wilbur in Hairspray? And we did a big charity event together, and I got to sing You Can't Stop the Beat with him. I was so excited.
Nice.
My dad was there. My dad is a big Monkees fan. And I think that was the first time I saw my dad fangirl. He was like, oh my gosh, it's Mickey Dolenz. I was like,
oh my God. Yeah. No, he was, I had stuff on my, my closet wall and stuff. So I was a big, a big fan. So I was, would watch their show constantly. But I don't remember as a little kid what I watched. I guess it was Romper Room, but I don't, Mighty Mouse. I think it was more cartoons and less live action stuff going on back then, because it was a really long time ago. And like now, I'm so hooked on dark, anything that's British or Australian, or I'm crazy about the Brits. I wish I were British. I love watching anything British, and I love the murder stuff. I just start watching this show on Sundance called Dez. It's with David Tennant, who I'm crazy about. And so anything British, that's my first love.
That's how I am with Downton Abbey.
I haven't watched that though.
Oh my gosh. When it came out, I'll tell you a horrible story. I agreed, this was a few years ago, I agreed to go on a date with somebody just because we were going to the Downton Abbey movie. It was a horrible date. It was, I hate to say it. He's never going to watch this podcast. So I was bored to tears. And I'll tell you though, the movie was great. It was amazing. They did a lot of job, so it made up.
You could, for that time, for that 2.5 hours, whatever, you could just enjoy
all
the time.
All I needed was Hugh Bonneville. I was very happy.
I haven't, it's so interesting because I haven't watched that. I haven't watched The Crown. I'm just watching all these other things that I keep finding. I'm really into this show called, it's eight seasons of this, it's a women's prison called Wentworth. And it is, it's Australian. The acting is so good.
My mother has been obsessed with that show for like a year and a half.
Okay, tell her I'm that way too.
She's told me all about it, and I have to get on it. I have to start watching it.
Eight seasons. I just finished the eighth season. It just sort of came up like recently, and I'm like, now what? Oh no, I just finished. Are they going to do a ninth? It's like crazy.
I also noticed that I could listen to people from Australia talk on end. They could curse me out up and down, and I'd be like, okay, sure.
There's something so, just so interesting about them, and that they just have a way about them. Even their comedy is so different, and I don't know. I would rather watch like a murder mystery before I go to bed than any. I don't watch any comedy. The only comedy that I've watched recently, which was really cute and good, was Ted Lasso. It's on Apple TV Plus. And I really like that.
I just got into the Disney Plus. I'm very excited. It's Halloween time. So I'm all about the Halloween Town and the Hocus Pocus and all of that.
Oh, are you?
Oh, yeah. I'm very big into the Halloween movies. And then once next month starts, once really Thanksgiving hits, then we're going to go hard into the Lifetime Hallmark
Christmas. Oh, I love that you are so into that. Well, they're sweet. There's nothing, you know what I mean? There's nothing that you don't have to think about anything. They're sort of home good, you know, feelings that bring to everybody. So they've always done well, you know, and every now and then I'll drop over and see something, or you'll see somebody that you know and you want to watch it. Yeah.
That's what's so fun for me.
Have you done one?
I haven't done one. I've done a Lifetime movie, and that was amazing. That was so fun. Just crying, and that was a blast. It was so fun.
Oh, my God. What was the name of it?
It was called Queen Size. It was actually based on a true story. It was about this girl that got nominated for Homecoming Queen as a joke. She ended up running and winning, and it was really awesome to play her, but I've always secretly wanted to do a Lifetime or a Hallmark Christmas movie because I love Christmas. I also secretly want to play Mrs. Claus someday. So,
oh, all right. That could happen anytime, any year.
What are some future plans for you with acting? What are some goals you've set for yourself?
Well, right now it's just work. You know, just whatever kind of, I've been really lucky during this time. Recently been doing, I recur on the Goldbergs. And so I'm doing that. I have, I did one last week. I'm doing one next week. So that's been a blessing. And I love working on the show, and I love Wendy, and I love all the other girls, and I love everybody. And so that's been good to me. Some voiceover stuff. So it really is just, it's really weird though, the whole auditioning now on Zoom and self-auditioning, and none of us really know what we're doing.
Well, I was going to ask you, what's it like going back to set during COVID and everything? How is it? Is extremely different. I mean, I know personally, but you know, for anybody who's listening.
It is different in terms of you can't move without somebody giving you, if you don't have a mask on. Like I sometimes forget, I'll be in my trailer and then I'll get out and it's like, oh, here, take this mask. So everybody is in masks. Everybody is in masks. The hair and makeup people, they have to wear those gowns. So they're putting, you know, they can't touch you without wearing a gown. You have to have something on top, you know, your face. So it's really, they're being so cautious and careful. And I have to go like Thursday, I have to go for a COVID test to work for Monday. So, and if you're working many days during the week, you could do a COVID 2 to 3 times. Wow. To take a test. So, oh yeah, they're really on top of it.
That's good though.
Yeah, it just is. It's just, you know, every time you pass somebody, you're just always going, isn't this weird? This is so odd. I want to hug you, or I want to, yeah. It's like, this is so bizarre. So we are all, you know, doing that because it's, you know, nobody's fighting it. Nobody's being, sure. Bad about it. So, you know, and I know that people are going back to work. So it's happening. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I guess we're getting a big surge or it's something we've got the winter coming now. So, but I've been, knock on wood, you know, lucky. Are you working at all?
Yes, kind of. I'm getting ready to go back to work. I'm so thankful. So thankful because I'll never forget. I was in LA a few months, like a month and a half ago, and I drove by, we went by past the Warner Brothers lot. And I stood outside and I was like, just please let me in. I just want to come home. Please let me back. I just want, I was so sad. Just let me in.
I know.
I absolutely cannot wait. It's been interesting having the meetings on Zoom, like you said, and meeting people that way unnecessarily that you probably would have met first in an audition room or, you know, at a table read. Now it's like, hi. But it's cool and it's interesting, and I'm learning a lot more about everything that goes into production than I learned more so before, I think.
And why are you, how are you, or what's making you learn more about all of that? Is it because you're just doing this differently, or?
Yeah, once the quarantine started, I kind of gave myself a mission. I said, you have to do something. You have to write. You have to channel all of this time and energy. And so I've gotten into producing as well, and I have learned so much. I'm like, wow, just acting on a show or acting in a movie is one thing, but then to like go into behind the scenes and take on different roles, that's been really interesting. So I've found that where I was kind of maybe lacking work coming in, I've decided to just generate it for myself.
I think that's so great. I mean, good for you. A lot of people are trying to put stuff up on YouTube or Instagram, anything, you know, just to make people laugh and smile. And we are all like, you know, itching to do what we do, whether it be theater. Oh my God, I can't believe the theater is just down. And when I think about all those people out of work and all those people behind the scenes, I mean, it's the same way with anything, but it just breaks your heart.
I will say I was in Manhattan the other day and just going kind of by Times Square in the theater district, it is very dim. And you do feel like a lull in the air. There's not that like vibrancy of people rushing back and forth from TKTS to the theater. And no, it's kind of quiet. Now, I remember I was at the beginning of the quarantine, I was able to walk through Times Square just like nothing.
Wow, with nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, and we don't know, you know, how quick things are going to change over and when this is all going to happen. So I guess it is just, everybody's just doing the best that they can. But I do think that bringing laughter and content to people, and that's, I mean, God, can you imagine if we didn't have this?
I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have any type of entertainment. You know, we turn to it so much, and my best friend always brings up this point. Whenever there's time during the holidays or anything, he's always putting a link up on his page to donate to the arts. Because he said, you know, people turn to the arts in times of trouble. Where do they search for any type of respite from what's going on in the world? They go to Netflix, they go to YouTube, they go to a movie, they go to a TV show. So I always agree with him on that forefront, and it's so incredibly important to keep the arts alive, especially in times like this, because we turn to them more than ever in times like these.
Oh absolutely. I mean, I can't stop watching television, number one, and but there is something, you know, about something live or just something that, you know, you can, you know, watch you know, and you know, on the computer. There's just so many places to go.
Yeah. Have you gotten into TikTok or anything like that?
No. I can't do. That's too much for me. I'm such like, I don't even know how to put all of those things on, you know, a picture or no, it's too much.
Amazing. Some people really go into it. They with effects and costumes and lighting and no, that's
how cool is that? But see, then they're what they're doing is they're learning how to produce and how to get involved and how to make content. And I think it's, you know, wonderful. I mean, I love watching it. I just don't have the desire to put it all together. I barely can, you know, pick up and answer my phone and hang up.
I feel you.
I mean, this enough. This is, I'm learning just how to do this. I've learned, it's like, I always tell people, it just takes me a little longer than you. So just know that I'm just crawling to try to learn something new.
Exactly. You guys start, Mindy and I will catch up. We'll yes. get there. We're on yes. our way. We'll meet you at the party. It's
yes,
all
right. exactly.
That's yes. what I always tell my friends. I'm like, yes. I'll see you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah, it's hard. Yeah.
Well, I thank you so much for your time and.
Oh, Nikki, you are just a doll and a pleasure, and I can't wait to see you in something. And I want to yes, and I'm so glad I got to meet you this way.
Same and, here.
Yeah, and I hope I get to meet your family sometime.
Yes, same to you, and I hope we work together. All of that fun jazz. And we'll put it out there in the universe, and I will catch up with you soon.
You got it. Mwah. Thank you.
Stay well.
Bye. Bye, sweetie. You too.
She's so incredibly kind. I have been a big Mindy Sterling fan forever, like I said to her, especially since high school. But she's done a lot of work. And as an actress, I look up to Mindy a lot because she's worked in voiceover. And you heard her say that she played Witchy Poo. Okay, if anybody has watched Nikki Nights, you have heard me talk. You hear Callie? She's like, yeah. She's about to talk about Puff and Stuff. You know how much I love Puff and Stuff. Callie knows how much I love Puff and Stuff. So to hear that Mindy dressed up as Witchy Poo made my day. But to talk to her, and you know, it's incredibly inspiring as an actress. Every day is a different experience and journey in this business. And we never know what's coming. We take everything as it comes with a grain of salt, and every journey and every avenue that we go down daily, because no day in this business is the same as the last. But I think that's the most exciting part about this business and kind of why we're all in it. We like that element of surprise. So getting to talk to Mindy and hear her stories, and you know, it's really inspiring to me. Because we all need to be inspired every day. But I'm here to tell you that you can find inspiration in anything. I find inspiration in a lot of things daily. So today, I found a lot of it in Mindy Sterling. So thank you, Mindy, for chatting with me. I have to go watch Austin Powers again tonight just because. And I highly encourage you to do so. I'm sending you all so much love. Be well, you guys. I'll chat with you soon. Bye.